Welcome to the Citizen Spotlight, where we sit down with a member of our church family to hear how the Lord has been at work in their life. I'm Stephen Simmons, Director of Communications and a pastor in training here at Citizens. Today, I'll be having a conversation with Josh Floyd. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Stephen.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
For those of you who don't know this, Josh and I have a very interesting thread in common with one another, and it's that we're former government hacks, the both of us. We both did our dime working for the man, capital mm-hmm. the capital man. I was working at the state level, not that it's competition, but Josh was working at the city level. Josh, tell us, what did you used to do for the man?
Well, it's funny you say that. I worked for a woman, Stephen.
That's embarrassing. That's deeply embarrassing.
I worked for the city of Columbia. I was in the public relations and media department.
Nice.
I was technically a PR specialist, but I didn't do any like PR stuff. I basically, right. I did social media for the city of Columbia. I would go to events, take photos and videos.
Yeah.
I would post those photos and videos on social media. I ran the cameras during all of their boring like boards and commission meetings.
Nice.
So I'd have to stay for like 2 hours after work every other Monday or so.
Handling divas on the city council and all that good stuff?
100%. There were definitely some divas on that city council.
Yeah.
I won't name names, but good. You know.
That's probably safe. Cover all your bases.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were both working in the state of South Carolina while living in the state of North Carolina.
Yeah. What a crazy blessing COVID was for me to not have to look for a new job when I moved to Charlotte because the city of Columbia thought I still lived in Columbia.
Yeah.
And also super annoying when they're like, hey, can you come to the office and like print out this thing? And I'm like, yeah, give me 2 hours. I'll be right there.
I'll be right there. No worries. Not driving down 77 in a mad dash. Yeah. So the situation of I'm living in Charlotte now. I'm working in the South Carolina gig. I have committed to this inherently difficult, stressful period with an unknown end date, all for the sake of this church plant. So what was it about Citizens? What was it about the mission and about the idea and the pitch of like, hey, be in Charlotte, plant this church, be a part of this community? Like, what was kind of the grounding thing or things for you?
So when I became a member of our sending church, Midtown, mm-hmm. that was the first time I had gone to a church in my life, and I've gone to church my whole life, that I really felt that sense of community, mm-hmm. that I really felt encouraged to have a more personal and intimate relationship with God mm-hmm. that extended in my daily life, not just on Sunday you go to church. Growing up, we had youth group on Wednesday nights.
Sure.
And that's where my relationship with God started and ended every week. And so just really feeling that connection to Midtown and knowing how much that meant to me and how much that impacted my walk with God. Honestly, when I first heard about Citizens, it's one of the only times in my life where I really felt God pushing me toward a specific thing.
Hmm.
And I just really felt a lot of peace and comfort in making that decision, which is kind of crazy for me because I'm a very anxious person. I don't take a lot of risks.
Yeah.
I don't really go out of my comfort zone a lot. And I'd spent several years out of college looking for and praying for a steady job that allowed me to use what I went to school for.
Yeah.
And I think literally a month or two into getting my City of Columbia job, I learned about Citizens for the first time. And I just really felt God pushing me toward that. And I was like, yeah, I'm willing to go through years of uncertainty in my career and my finances. And that was crazy for me because I never feel that sense of comfort. I wish I did. I wish on a daily basis, I was like, God will take care of this.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it's like, I'm praying to God, like, please help me feel comfort that you'll take care of this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Was there anything in that first maybe year or a couple years of being a part of Citizens, being up here in Charlotte, whether it's sermons or people or things that was like, yeah, this is where I need to be. Like, this is the right spot.
For me, I knew a lot of people that were moving with the church plant.
Hmm.
But I would say I didn't have any super close friendships.
Hmm.
And just feeling immediately the sense of community still in Charlotte, seeing the ways everyone was just stepping up for each other during a moving during COVID was, it's crazy, but everyone was stepping up and doing that. Seeing the way the new people were coming in and being accepted and just feeling like already like, yeah, this is my community. This is my family. These people that have lived in Charlotte that I never met, people that moved to Charlotte, not from Columbia, but from other places that were also looking for community in a church home and finding it at Citizens. I was really comforting. There were some great sermons early on that I still look back on as some of my favorite sermons that were preached at Citizens, like What's Killing Me?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
About apathy and anxiety. That was super convicting and encouraging for me as someone who's very apathetic and very anxious.
Yeah.
Holding the two truths of anxiety is a real mental health struggle, that there are practical earthly means of addressing it, like, you know, anti-anxiety medication or going to counseling or therapy. And there's also the truth of you can use your anxiety as a crutch to just prevent yourself from living on mission. So that was really encouraging and very convicting to me. And I still take that to heart to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I used to get very excited about in when I was still in Columbia, and this is showing that I'm a bit of a melodramatic and sappy guy, but I would get really excited about the idea of people in Charlotte that I didn't know that in years I would call like really good friends. Like just this kind of the concept of like, man, being a part of this church plant means that there are going to be unknown people in Charlotte now or that will be in Charlotte in the future that like I'm going to call really dear friends. And just like the thought of that and the excitement of that, not the promise of friends, even just like the prospect of like, who is God leading to Charlotte? You know, who are the people that God is pulling together that currently I don't know at all. My wife is one of them, but then like will ultimately be these like deeply powerful, impactful, meaningful relationships. So who are the people maybe that come to mind when you think of like, yeah, when I was back in Columbia, no concept that these people existed at all. But now I would call them some of my really dear, like important, vital friends.
I mean, when I think about, yeah, people that I met in Charlotte, I think about like the Kellys, Brad and Emma. Of Sophie met Emma at her job, invited her to church. I met them. I met Brad. Brad's a character.
He sure is.
And just getting to see them really get committed to the idea of going to church and having a relationship with God on a regular basis, being a part of their baptism stories is really special. And being in group with them, being in group with someone like Brad, who is newer in his faith and super inquisitive and like really has a heart and a mind to just want to understand things that maybe I, as someone who's been in church my whole life, maybe took for granted.
Yeah.
And then just having to reevaluate, like, why do I believe this? Why does the Bible say that?
Yeah.
That was super helpful for me. And I feel like every week Brad would be like, did I ask too many questions? Was that a dumb question? It's like, no, that was super helpful.
Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, it encouraged a lot of conversation between everyone. It made me rethink my own beliefs and like why we believe this as Christians.
Yeah.
So just being able to be a part of stories like that has been super helpful and encouraging to me.
Yeah. I remember there was a night and we had all been going around and kind of talking through our weeks and sharing and things. And then I got to Brad, and Brad, he said something to the effect of, I'm really sorry, guys. I just don't really have anything to complain about. I'm just really grateful for this week. And he like, it was not said with any kind of shade or like judgment. He was being deeply earnest of like, I'm having a hard time figuring out what I need to be like venting about. And that was deeply convicting for all of us to kind of be like, oh, if that's how you're perceiving this time is like, we're doing something wrong. Like this is not the time to just dump on how hard our lives are. We want to be honest about where life is hard, but like, oh, this is really showing us how poorly a job we do at also being grateful and rejoicing in things. And that was really impactful and a really beautiful, I think, gift that Brad and Emma have brought to group is that very kind of embodying in the best ways, like what is childlike faith? Like what is it to kind of walk in and ask questions and things? And I think the important piece there is what you said at the beginning is that like that all began from like Sophie identifying a coworker and stepping out in that kind of working through the anxiety, working through the fear and inviting them to group, which was like, that is a really important reminder that the end goal is not just friends, and church does bring us beautiful friendships and friendship is a vital part of church life. But there is that deeper component of like, no, we're also desiring that one another would know Jesus and follow him and be more like him. So on that thread is kind of the follow-up. The Kellys are certainly this, but are there other people that you feel at Citizens have really helped you strive to be more and look more like Jesus? Like, who comes to mind in those ways?
I want to pump up Bryce Long for a little bit.
Come on, do it.
Bryce is someone that moved to Charlotte a year or two after I moved to Charlotte, mm-hmm. not from Columbia. He's from Anderson. And if you know Bryce, you know he went to school at Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And he's another character. He can be loud and funny, and he's so unique and also loves the Lord so much and yeah. is so missional mm-hmm. and so intentional. Seeing his journey from not knowing if Charlotte is where he's going to be for the rest of his life and sure. missing his friend group from college to just really building himself, just such an incredible community of friends and family in Charlotte has been just amazing to watch. And I always feel like every time I talk to Bryce, talking to an old friend who makes me laugh, but also encourages me to just be closer to God.
Yeah, no, Bryce is, again, that mentality of I am equally striving after two things, and that is friendship with you, like knowing you, knowing about your life, knowing about your family, knowing about your interests. And also, I am equally striving after, are you following Jesus? Are you reading your Bible? What are you learning from your Bible? What are you learning from Sundays? What are you, you know, how are you participating in group? That, just that equal pursuit.
I mean, we had Bryce leading monthly Bible studies for a while in our mm-hmm. group. And he has this really unique ability to have everyone just laughing so hard.
Yeah.
And then he can lock into a genuinely God-gifted ability to teach.
Yeah.
And just have everyone engaged.
Yeah.
And have everyone just really feeling like they're learning something new about God, about the Bible, about the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to watch.
That's fantastic.
So Bryce is great. I think you are super intentional.
Good.
You're super encouraging.
I do not have a knife in my hand. I don't have a gun in my hand.
I am reading off a teleprompter. Steven Simmons.
yeah. It's all on script.
No, Steven, you are also incredibly intentional. Your love for the Lord and your love of people is also something incredibly encouraging for me. So, yeah.
Thanks. What a perfect way to wrap up the final episode of the Citizen Spotlight. We made it to the top of the mountain. Here I am. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Now, you, the listener, following along, listening to Josh recap his professional life and his time in Columbia, time here in Charlotte, and the friendship that he's been making, might have rung a bell in the back of your head. You may have been thinking, hey, I hear this guy recapping the past few years for him. Did he also recap Dune for me? And if you're thinking that, then that's to answer the other question that you may have been wondering of, okay, well, he was doing this back and forth job of working for the city of Columbia. Is he still doing that? The answer is no. Josh, what is your profession now?
Yeah, I'm a full-time YouTuber, and I recap movies and TV shows on my YouTube channel. And, you know, when I was talking earlier about just having faith that God would provide a job for me in Charlotte, I definitely would have never guessed that it would have turned into this.
Right.
And so he's definitely provided for me in just ways that I could have never imagined.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy blessing.
It's the kind of thing that in high school, it was my only dream was just to be like a full-time, like self-sufficient YouTuber, you know? It's the category in my own brain where when I hear that, I'm just like, oh, so he found a job where there is no longer struggle because he has found something that is directly into his interests and that has extreme flexibility and provides in these great ways. And like just through the fun things you get through YouTube sponsorships, you know, so seeing all that from the outside, the funny thing is that I've also been in group with you. And I know that it's not remotely that simple for the person who is in whatever their current job is, and it maybe is feeling the deep pressure and displeasure of whatever the trials of that job are. Like, what have you seen as the new challenges in this new different kind of role, and how, you know, maybe you were having to rely on God and remind yourself scriptural truths in a different way, going back and forth between states for the city of Columbia, but now you're having to remind yourself of maybe new things, maybe the exact same things all over again, working from your home studio in this YouTube role.
Yeah, well, I think something I learned very quickly is that work is work.
Yeah.
And just because it was something that I dreamed of doing, it doesn't mean that when you do it as your full-time job, you know, 40 plus hours a week, that it doesn't become tedious. And just what you thought was going to be always fun is oftentimes not. It's menial tasks. It's just repetitive.
Yeah.
It's still a blessing. I still enjoy it more than I think any other job I could imagine myself doing, but work is work. I really did have to learn that, you know, my worth is not in my work. Hmm. Whatever job I have is not my ultimate accomplishment.
Sure.
It's not my ultimate happiness.
Yeah.
So I had to learn that. I also am currently in a job where I don't have a set salary. Hmm. And so my income is fully based on how well the videos that I make do.
Sure.
And so it is almost fighting against what I just said of my financial worth is literally tied to my work.
Yeah.
And that can be very stressful and very anxiety inducing. And there were months for a while at the beginning where it was definitely something that was very stressful and anxiety inducing of my videos aren't doing well. This is it. It's all going to collapse. I'm not going to make enough money to pay my bills.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to stop this, go back on the job hunt. Mm. During that time, I really had to press into God and trust that He will provide for me. I'm just trying to, you know, learn to appreciate God's provision in the moment and not just sort of look back and recognize, oh yeah, no, He was definitely providing for me. Obviously, clearly, how could I have not seen it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. There's that. And it's at the same time, I think a good reminder. And I know that we used to talk about this a lot in group of like, yeah, we're here now. We're in this room after whatever ups and downs of the past of unsure of provision and doubting provision. But we've been provided for, and it wasn't always in maybe the excesses that we would have hoped for, you know, but I have this full track record of the faithfulness of God, and I'm in church community where so many other people have had different occupational scenarios and different highs and lows in their own work life. And the Lord has provided in ways that were enormous, very clear godsends, and in ways that in the moment it might have felt really murky and unclear, but really where when you kind of look back, you say, oh, I see the hand of God in all of this.
There's a period of like 2 years after I graduated college and then before I got my job working for the City of Columbia where I was making hardly any money.
Yeah.
I think both years I made less than $15,000 a year. Hmm. And during that time, I was going to God constantly of like, I am miserable. I need a job to pay my bills.
Yeah.
I am struggling here.
Yeah.
And looking back on those 2 years of financial struggle, I am so thankful now that God put me through that.
Right.
I grew so much in my faith and like just trusting in Him to be provided for. I don't understand literally how I was able to pay my bills. Like I was taken care of in all the ways that I needed to be.
Yeah.
While also not recognizing at the time, but fully recognizing now that I was being provided for and just strengthening my trust in God and my reliance on Him.
You had to rely on God and on a much smaller level, rely on Marvel Studios to steadily pump out enough movies that you have the content you need to survive.
Yeah.
Wow. I did have a question I wanted to get your thoughts on as a recapper and watcher and critic of film and TV. Is it possible to make a good Christian movie?
Personally, I think that a lot of the Christian movies that are made by Christian studios feel intentionally made to target people that are already the audience, like people that are already Christians.
Preaching to the choir.
And I don't think that they are made with the actual intention of bringing new followers to Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a cynical take on it from me. But I do think that you watch them and they're not structured in ways to tell a compelling story to draw people in. It's just like, oh yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
I recognize that from the Bible.
Right.
I do think it's possible for people to make movies that maybe they are a secular filmmaker and they are not intending to do this.
Right.
But I've definitely watched movies or TV shows where I have connected, maybe in ways that they did not intend to a message that to me was super encouraging or convicting to my own faith.
Right.
You see people like, is Martin Scorsese a Christian filmmaker? No, I think he maybe grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
But he can make something like Silence.
Right.
It's like, it's beautiful. Wow, this is beautiful. Yeah.
I think the reason that so often overtly Christian films fall flat is the same reason that any film that is being made for the sake of getting like a message across
yes.
falls flat. I think of it in the sense of like the earth is round. If we were watching movies where everyone constantly has to get the point across that we're on a round earth, I would start to be like, what are you doing? Like, this is very distracting. This is very weird. It's like, you just make movies that take place in a round earth and it just kind of gets the point across, right? And in the same way, it is so easy to kind of get pulled away and pulled into doubt and uncertainty about God and the reality of his truth and his world and the way that he has ordered the world, because 99.9% of movies are made out of a worldview of there is no God and his truth is not at work in the world. And so if you're constantly going into the movie theater, watching movies that are not necessarily like, hey, God's fake and you're a loser if you're a Christian, but sort of like quietly, implicitly operating out of that truth of like, yeah, no, God's not at work here. Christians are crazy. That just steadily is going to kind of shape your own worldview. And you're like, oh, maybe this worldview is true. And so I've always thought that the way that a movie is done well with a Christian worldview is to just kind of be a movie, but that operates out of that worldview of like, we don't have to spend the whole time reminding everyone that the earth is round because we know the earth is round. You know, it's like, we don't have to operate as if God is real. God is real. You know, I also think of kind of to your point, when Jesus talks about the truth of who I am will become so great that even the stones will cry out, this kind of thing of it is a rock. But some truths are so deep that they can't help but be told by creation. There is a book that I love. It's been deeply formative for me. It was The Stories We Tell by Mike Cosper. And it is kind of talking about that. It's like if you approach media with that kind of Christian lens on, looking for where is the truth of God, whatever the movie, whatever the show, like can't help but in some way, whether it's positively or negatively, tell the story of our need for Jesus, whether that's positively, like look at the good and beauty of creation, or if it's negatively, like look at the brokenness of creation, we need a savior.
And if I could circle this conversation to a show that I am obsessed with and will not stop talking about is Lost.
Yes.
Which is a show about people that crash on an island that's got crazy sci-fi stuff on it.
Yeah.
But it's also in the text of the show, deeply religious.
Yeah.
It's literally about a man of science. He's a doctor. He's on an island where crazy things are happening. And he's ignoring all of those things. He's rational minded.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to engage. And then you got a character like John Locke, who is a man of faith.
Yeah.
And the show is about this struggle between science and faith. And ultimately it's a man that earns his faith, learns about it, yeah. and accepts it. And he becomes, you know, the hero of the show. Jack, yeah. the doctor.
You, the listener, can't see this, but Josh has pulled out a marker. He's walking over towards his whiteboard. It seems like he has a whole presentation prepared.
Steven, Jack's father's name is Christian Shepherd.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, you know? If you've been listening to this podcast and you are thinking, you know, Josh has some good insights, I would really love for him to punch me in the face, then you need to walk up to him on a Sunday and say, Lost has one of the worst endings of a show of all time.
Yeah.
He will become an unhinged being and
yes.
dive further down than what yes. we just saw. But I am excited. Carla and I are going to start coming over and watching through Lost, which is going to be a fun journey to watch Josh recap all of the little aspects of it after every episode. Get up by the TV and just deep dive for us.
And for the sake of our friendship.
Yeah.
At least lie to me and say that you love it.
Yes. By the end of it, I'll be like, oh, that was great. You fully changed my opinions on this show. Congratulations. To wrap up real quick, I did want to hit on the fact that you serve at our church on the production team, which is often an overlooked team because they're literally at the back of the room, out of sight, out of mind. But it's a very valuable team. So what would your pitch be to the person who's maybe unsure of serving, or even that sees the whole like, oh, you're running slides, that feels really intimidating. Like, what's the value of it? Why should someone consider trying out production team?
Well, as someone who's not in any way musically inclined, I would never think that I would be useful in the very beautiful form of worship.
Yeah.
But to be running the slides and, you know, having the words on screen so that people can sing and worship joyously.
Yeah.
And I got to be a part of that. That is special to me. And I was actually, you know, reading the Bible recently.
That's great.
Not to brag, but I do
Proud
that.
Of you.
I
yeah.
do that sometimes.
That's good.
There's often times where, you know, you get to a section and it's just listing genealogies or names.
Yeah.
And my eyes sort of gloss over and it's like, did I read all of it? I don't know. I'm skimming it.
Yeah.
But I was reading and then just seeing a whole section on the names of people that were involved in the worship.
Hmm.
And it actually hit me and I'm reading all of these names and I'm thinking, those people, when they were doing that, they were serving their church and they were serving God just for the sake of being a part of this.
Yeah.
Having no idea that their names would be a part of the Bible that people centuries later are reading.
Sure.
And, you know, my name's not going to be written in the Bible. I'm not that important, but is sort of a thing of like, no, this is important.
Yeah.
Everyone that was involved back then, not everyone, but these people that were involved back then, their names have been recorded because they are important.
Yeah.
Every little way that you can serve is important because you're serving your church community, your church family, you're serving the mission of God. And it's just this, really incredible way to just grow in your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. No small roles in the kingdom of God.
No.
That's a great way to land. Thank you, Josh, for coming in and talking through all that from movies to service to friendship to dealing with anxiety and all that good stuff. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate what you bring to our church and to our city. Thank you, the listener, for tuning in. We'll have another member here on the couch next month. But until then, grace and peace to you. And everyone, get out there and stay inside because it's hot. And watch Lost.
Thought you were going to say get out and vote.
Get out and vote.